Nice to see you here. Hymn number 5, we're opening hymn of praise. Praise, encourage everyone to sing. Preacher needs your help today in singing the hymn number 5 found on the page 176. Nice to see you engaging in the singing of God's praise today, and it is a means by which we worship God in the singing of His praise. We're going to unite in prayer and seek the face of the Lord together. Let's call upon the Lord that His presence will be known in His house today. Let's call on the Lord. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee this morning that we can come into Thy presence. We thank Thee, O God, that the blood of Christ has taken away all that stands against us as Thy children, that would bar an entrance into Thy courts. And yet we bless Thee, O God, for the Saviour that has opened heaven for us, has made it possible by which we can approach Thee today, and by which we can bring our cares and our wants and our praise and our adoration to our great God and Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee for a mediator. We thank Thee for one who stands between us and the Holy God. One, O God, who has given that expiatory sacrifice on our behalf, who has died that substitutionary death. We praise Thee for the one who died and rose. And we thank Thee that we can say that, O God, the grave holds no dread. But Father, we bless Thee, O God, that the grave is but the portal by which we enter into the glory land. We praise Thee and thank Thee, O God, that death has been robbed of its victory, has been paralyzed, and sin's sting has been extracted. And we bless Thee, O God, that we are the redeemed of the Lord today. And this encourages our souls. This gives us hope in a world, O God, where much discourages us. Yet we thank Thee that we can rejoice in God our salvation. We thank Thee, O God, that we're saved, and we know it. We thank Thee for the assurance, the witness within this supernatural work of God by which the Spirit witnesses with our spirits that we are the children of God. And we thank Thee, O God, for this. May many long for it. May many, while many search after it, whilst many in the past week have maybe gone to certain holy, as it were, sites in their minds, to many pilgrimage places, O God, searching for this assurance. Yet we thank Thee that we have experienced the satisfaction and the assurance that all is well with the soul, and that Christ dwells within, and that we're at peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. All praise and glory goes to Him today. We thank Thee for assembling us in Thy house today. We thank Thee, O God, for this, the Lord's Day. We bless Thee for a day set aside in seven, whereby we can, O God, worship Thee. Render our hearts praise as we review a week that has passed, and as we look into a week into that we are looking into the future, we can praise Thee on the basis of past blessings that Thou wilt provide, and Thou wilt lead, and Thou wilt guide, and Thou wilt sustain, and Thou wilt cheer the heart when it's downcast, and Thou wilt touch the frame whenever it's broken, and Thou wilt come and sort out and rearrange the problems within our families, because we thank Thee that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. And so we rest on this truth that I am the Lord and I change not. We thank Thee for the unchangeable and the unchanging God. We bless Thee, O God, that Thou art the one who never changes. And so we rest on Thee today. We think of those within the congregation who are going through difficult times. We're asking of Thee that the words spoken today might be a means of blessing, a means of challenge, a means of encouragement. We pray that as they congregate in with us today and in the house of God, that the hymns might be used to encourage the soul. We pray that as prayer is offered, that there might be something even within the prayer that will encourage the heart and will cause it to be lifted above the circumstances, and that men and women would get a sight of the invisible God. We pray, O God, that they might see the greatness of our God, the grandeur, the glory, the majesty of Him, that they would, Lord, look at their circumstances and realize that if, O God, the nations are but a drop in the bucket and the eyes but as the small dust upon the balances, yet, Father, that they would see that their problems are so small in comparison to the greatness of our God, and that our God is well able to break forth and to break out and to change the situation in but a moment of time. We pray that Thou will grant patience to those who are going through the difficult pathway of life, and that they might realize that God has purposes still to fulfill within the life. And, O God, that they would yield to the hands of the potter. O God, bring us to that place where we're submissive to His hands. We pray that we might realize that we are but the clay. And what right has the clay to say to the potter, what doest thou? So mould us and make us into vessels of honour. We think of those that are among us that are not saved. Bring them to the Redeemer, we pray. Let them know what it is to have their sins pardoned and forgiven. We pray for those that are backslidden. Bring them back to the Saviour. And Father, do a great work, O God, among us today. Help in the gospel open air this afternoon, the gospel evening service. We pray that the gospel would, O Father, go forth. Encourage hearts, we pray. Bless our missionary endeavours across the globe, whether it be by radio broadcast or whether by individuals on the ground and on the field at this time. Pray especially for Mr. Gardner. We pray that you'll provide for him this needed spot in the centre of Perth. O God, for the preaching and for the establishing of a gospel open-air service. We pray that thou wilt open up a way. And Father, that you'll use him, dear God, even there, to the pulling down of strongholds. And Father, for the establishing of thy kingdom in that very dark and wicked land. O God, we are looking to thee. Come, dear God, we ask of thee. Bless every endeavour in the gospel this week, whether among the children, the young people. O grant, O God, thy blessing. And may the work here in Port Nolan prosper under the hand of Almighty God. Answer our petitions and continue to be with us. And help us as we worship thee. We pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. 592 makes us consider heaven. There's a land that is fairer than day. And by faith we can see it afar. For the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. 592, we'll rise to sing this hymn, please. I want to take a reading from Psalm chapter 3. Psalm chapter 3, a psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son, is the title upon the psalm. Psalm 3. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of my head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Rise, O Lord, save me, O my God. Thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. Amen. And we know that the Lord will bless the reading of his precious word. Let me welcome you here this morning, this afternoon now, in the Saviour's precious name. Nice to see you here in God's house, and we trust that the Lord will meet with us as we gather around his precious word. Let me make some announcements as we can, do as quickly as we can. The Lord's Day, 3:30 this afternoon, the gospel open air will be held on the main street down in the town, and we'll be there to preach God's word, God willing, 3:30 this afternoon. And then 6:30, the prayer time, 7 p.m, the gospel meeting, and we'll be back again, God willing, to preach the gospel this evening. So let me encourage you to come and to invite others to attend even this gospel meeting. Wednesday night, 8 p.m. will be the prayer meeting, and we're thankful for Brother Mr. Laverty that came over last week, or Brother Tom, who came and took the meeting due to me having a bit of man flu. We're still trying to get over it, so we are. But I think it was John Wesley that said, there's nothing like preacher pulpit sweat that gets rid of flu. So I'm hoping that that helps today, and that we'll get rid of it eventually after this meeting today. But want to thank our brother Tom for coming over, and we believe that you had a good meeting and that the Lord's presence was there. So we'll try to be with you again on Wednesday night, God willing, for the prayer meeting. Thursday evening, 7:30, committee meeting, followed by the meeting of session. And again, the items for the committee agenda to be with the committee secretary no later than tomorrow, and items for the session agenda to be with me no later than the same time tomorrow as well. Friday night, 7 p.m, the children's meeting, and our sister Pamela Laverty will be there to do the Bible lesson, so you can pray for her. That's 7 p.m, the children's meeting. And then at 8 p.m, the youth fellowship meeting will take place at the Thompson household, due to the missionary council meeting that's taking place here in the church. That's over there in Mansfield Heights. And so we appreciate the Thompsons for opening their home. And that youth meeting will start at 8 p.m. And our brother Stephen will be there. He's going to speak upon to the young people about the real St. Patrick, the man who was saved by the grace of God and was a preacher of the gospel, the everlasting gospel, and was a means of God to turn this heathen country into the land of saints and scholars, one of the men that God used. And so he's going to speak about the real St. Patrick. As we have intimated, the missionary council meeting is happening here on Friday night, and we're delighted to host that meeting. It means by which the missionary council representatives of each of the churches come and congregate, and they discuss the agenda meetings. I believe that our sister Miss Noreen McAfee will be speaking at that meeting, and so we're delighted to hold that meeting for the missionary council. Those ladies that are helping out in the catering of that, 9 o'clock will be ample time for you to be here. But if you want to leave the things down to the church before then, the church will be open from about 6:30 onwards for the children's meeting. So you can leave the items down, those food items. If you cannot be here yourself, but you want to send them down earlier, we'll be here to receive them from about 6:30, 20 to 7 onwards. Next Lord's Day, 10:30, Sabbath school Bible class, 12 noon family worship, 7 p.m. the gospel service, and each service will be preceded by the half hour of prayer. Some extra announcements. The Vision magazines, they are a week late, but they're not too bad. Vision magazines, they're available, they're on the stand there. Let me encourage every family to take a copy on the way out, and Let me encourage the young people and the children to do the quiz on the inside. And I think the price on the prize fund has went up. It's £5 if you win the quiz. But I think you have to be under the age of 12. So you have to be honest in your age. So if there's any children that can do the quiz, let me encourage you to do that. And who knows, your name might appear in the next issue of the magazine. Pray for the Let the Bible Speak messages that we were able to record this week. We've been asked to help out in this respect. And the broadcasts go out in the month of April. I believe they go out on Q97.2 FM, Sunday morning, 9:15 a.m. And so the messages will be there, preached a 15-minute message. And so pray for that. That's coming up in the month of April. And then we also have to record sometime in the month for the month of December. And so this is a new door of ministry that's opening up for us. And we trust that the Lord will use those messages to the saving of the soul and the encouragement of those who cannot make it out to the house of God because of illness or infirmity or because of sickness. Well, it can be a means. So you pray for that, that the Lord will help even in those recordings. And what I gave Mr. Curran is suitable for that. We just got them recorded before we went down sick, so we trust that they're okay and they make perfect sense to our brother. Pray also as we prepare to lead the Northern Ireland Youth Council team to the Commonwealth Games. I never thought that I would be leading a team to the Commonwealth Games, but for some reason, the Youth Council has decided to ask. There's usually a minister from this part of Northern Ireland goes with the team if it's over to the mainland. And so we're going to be working in conjunction with our brother in Rutherglen. And so we've been asked to do that there. That's the last week in August, July, the first week in August. It's just at the end of our holidays, but the men have given us leave that we can go over and help in that week outreach. So pray for us even that the Lord will touch young people's hearts. You have to be 18 years of age or over if you want to be part of that outreach. It's stipulated that that has to be the reason, and then I believe that the minister of the congregation has to write a letter of recommendation for you to be able to go on that trip. But all the details are on the Youth Council webpage. There are plenty of spaces still available. I believe there's something like 22 to 24 spaces that are available. And so pray that the Lord will fill up those spaces and that the Lord will use even that outreach to reach thousands that will come into Glasgow to witness the Commonwealth Games, and that they'll hear the gospel of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Some other announcements. Missionary Council appeal books for Africa. New and second-hand Bibles and good Christian literature are urgently needed to stock the bookshops in Kenya and Liberia. Also a supply of greeting cards for all occasions and stationery. Now, these can be dropped off either at the local church anytime, at the Easter Convention from the 18th to the 21st of April, the International Congress at the Martyrs, 23rd to the 27th of June. And so, with the Missionary Council being here on Friday night, if you have any spare books, any spare Bibles that you don't use, new second-hand Bibles or good Christian literature, well, why not bring them along on Wednesday night to the prayer meeting, and at least we'll be able to get it immediately to the youth or to the missionary council. So we'll put that up in the hallway there in the church hall, and you can read that there and use it. I've also a letter here from Mr. Ferguson, Reverend Ferguson. Dear Mr. Stewart, please pass on our thanks for the gift of £1,200 received from your church after the deputation meetings on the 16th of February. We hope your congregation enjoyed having the students and that the visit to you will be helpful in enabling your people to see the calibre of young people the Lord has been calling into his service. We trust also that it will generate increased prayer for our work here. Please pass on our thanks also to all the congregation who made the students so welcome, and to those who provided meals for the students. Our college is a vital part of the work of our denomination, and we are delighted that the Lord has sent us young men and women with such a keen interest in serving him, and who have been cooperative and willing workers in all that has been required of them in study and other aspects of college life. And close a short extract from another letter I have written which gives some information regarding our present activities. Let me read it quickly. At present we have 16 students in training, 11 of whom are doing the theological course, 3 doing the shorter college course, of whom 2 are female students. We have 2 external students, 1 from the Czech Republic doing the full 4-year course, and 1 from South Korea who is spending a year with us as a voluntary student. Last year I indicated that we had no female students in training and asked for prayer about this. It is good to see that 2 young godly women have come forward to study with us. It's also encouraging to report that we have inquiries from England, Holland, Ghana and Australia regarding our ministerial course. This is in addition to the applications we have received from young people in Northern Ireland. One problem we have encountered is that it is difficult for people outside the European Union to obtain a visa to study here, and we would ask you to bring this matter before the Lord in prayer. A prospective Ghanaian student, although accepted by us, has been turned down by the UK High Commission and so far has not been able to join us. We trust the Lord will continue to keep his hand upon the congregation in Port Malone, and that you will experience days of heaven upon earth, yours in Christ, Gordon Ferguson. That's an encouragement to us, and we trust that you will keep the students before us in mind. They today are in Sandown congregation, and next week they will be in Resharkin, so our brother Stephen will not have too far to travel. Next week, 23rd, they'll be in Resharkin, so you can pray for them in relation to that. That's all by means of announcements. 574, 574 offering hymn, "When the storms of life are raging, tempests wild on sea and land, I'll seek a place of refuge in the hollow, in the shadow of God's hand." 574, remain seated, please. When the storms are rise to sing verse 4. There's nothing like a good transpose button that brings the hymn down, and I think we needed the hymn to be brought down today. Thank you, sister. We appreciate your ministry week by week. Where would we be without a good organist? Praise the Lord for the gifts that God gives his children, and let's always use our gifts to the glory of our great God and Saviour. Psalm 23 again this morning. Psalm 23, as you turn there, we'll be at the door today, but we'll appreciate, you'll know that we'll not shake anyone's hands. We are a sharing congregation here, but I'm sure no one wants to spend a few days in bed, so we'll just be there to greet you, but we'll not shake hands with you today. Psalm 23, verse number 1, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, he leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Amen. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee for the word of God. We thank thee for a more sure word of prophecy. We bless thee that we are not of others who search after visions and imaginations of men. But we thank thee that we have got the word of God before us. We bless thee for its preservation down through the years. We praise thee for those who gave their lives in the translating of thy word. We thank thee for men like Wycliffe and Tyndale and other men, O God, that stood by the old book. We ask of thee that we might take up the baton and that we might stand four square on the word of God. We pray that we might be taught from thy word today, that there might be a word in season for every waiting heart. And thou wilt grant, O God, therefore this preacher, the infilling of thy spirit with power. We pray that in our weakness that thou would make us strong. And thou wilt grant to us, O God, the help required to be a faithful ambassador for Jesus Christ. Grant, O God, the help of the Holy Spirit. Let us not labor in the arm of the flesh. We pray this in Jesus' precious and glorious name. Amen and amen. Well, last week we spoke about the rest of the child of God on this side of eternity. We spoke about the body of rest and the spiritual rest for the soul. And we proceeded to identify that this rest is not found within ourselves or in the things of the world, but it finds its source in God himself and in God alone. We considered then the three different forces that come against the rest for the Christ sheep, that of fear and friction within the flock and a lack of food. Carrying on then our study in relation to the rest for Christ's sheep, we might ask ourselves the question, how does God bring us into this rest? See, the psalmist here says that he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. There's the idea behind that verb maketh, that the sheep at times is resistant to this rest. Self-willed and stubborn, the sheep would rather wander, would rather go its own way, would rather stray, rather than lie down and submit to the shepherd's guidance into the green pastures. The sheep therefore, or the shepherd therefore, has to make us lie down in green pastures at times. The thought of the shepherd making his flock to lie down oft times against his own will of the sheep is highlighted elsewhere in the word of God. For example, in the Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 7, we read these words. The words of the Shulamite to her shepherd love. She said unto him, "Tell me, O thou, whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, and where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. Ezekiel chapter 34 and the verse number 14 or verse number 15, we read these words of God, I will feed my flock and I will cause them to lie down. I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord. Now the word maketh in the verse number 3 here carries the thought of yielding to being placed. There is a yielding here to being placed by the shepherd. It is the shepherd who provides the green pastures for the sheep, and it is therefore the sheep's responsibility to yield to the shepherd's guidance. He knows where to make us lie down. He knows where to provide the green pastures. Notice that it does not say that the shepherd suggests us to lie down. No, it tells us here that he maketh me to lie down. There are times on the journey of life, on the journey towards heaven and towards home, that we're forced by our shepherd to rest, to lie down. Times whenever God whispers to our souls, come ye apart and rest a while. And rest a while. There is a little word that we find recorded 71 times in the book of Psalms and 3 times in the book of Habakkuk that carries the thought of rest. It's a word that we quickly read over. Some even believe that it should not be read. And if you were alert this morning, you would have recognized that that word appeared 3 times in Psalm chapter 3, and we did not read the word. It is that little word, Selah. Selah. Now there are a great divergence among Bible commentators that suggest different reasons or different meanings to that little word. The one to which I tend to lean towards has a musical connection. The Psalms, as we know, were originally written and composed as songs. They are the songs of mostly David, but also of Moses and some other writers like Asaph. And it is suggested by some that this little word, Selah, is a musical notation that alerted the singer to stop and to pause and to rest from the song and to consider all that they had just sung. And if you noticed in our reading, that's what we try to do. For a brief pause, we stopped and we thought about, or we should have been thinking about, what we had just read. The idea of rest is before us even in that little word, Selah. And there are times in life, in the Christian's life, that God brings the Christian into the Selah moments of life. And God just tells us to rest. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. I want us to take up this theme of the Christian's rest again today. And in relation to that, I want you to see firstly with me the road by which the shepherd brings us into rest. The road by which the shepherd brings us into rest. God is a way by which he brings his sheep to the place of rest. A way that he brings us into the Selah moments of life. Those moments when God makes us stop and pause just for a little time, catch, as it were, our breath and reassess where we are with God. Those times, those roads, times of illness, times of convalescence, times of body weakness, times of mental depression, times of sorrow, times of loneliness, times of unemployment. It's often through the door of affliction that God brings us to our Selah moments in life. Strange road it may seem, and yet this is the road that God in his wisdom would have us to walk. The road of affliction often ends in a place of rest. I wonder today, are you in a place of affliction? Has a good shepherd ordered circumstances in your life that has caused you to have time to stop and to pause and to reassess where you are with God? These are times, all providentially placed in God's plan for your life, by which you would just rest and ask, am I walking with God? Am I still going on with God? Are my times of prayer still sweet times of communion? Has my Bible reading fallen out by the way? These times whereby the Lord brings us into affliction are times of the searchings of the heart. The psalmist said in Psalm 66 in the verse number 12, Psalm 66 in the verse 12, we read these words: Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, but Thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place. Before they ever reached the wealthy place, they had to go through fire and they had to go through water, because it's always the cross before the crown. Always. You see, those who are arrayed in white robes in Revelation chapter 7 are those who first of all come out of great tribulation. To be arrayed in white robes, we must come through much tribulation. It is often at the end of the road of affliction that we find the green pastures of Christ's rest. I was speaking to a young man this week. I'm sure you all know him. He broke his leg last year playing football. Put him out of work for 9 months. Does a little bit of preaching around. Started to do gospel missions. He's having one in Kilchronican at the end of this month. I was speaking to David this week, and he was able to testify in my home that he was thankful to God that God, as it were, put him out of action for 9 months. He was thankful to God that over those 9 months of recuperation that he was able to spend more time with God. More time with God in prayer, and more time with God in the study of his Word. And then he said to me these words, quoting from Psalm 119 verse 71. David, he said, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. So affliction is often the road by which God brings us into green pastures. But are there any other benefits as a side issue that arise from being afflicted? Maybe today, like Naomi, you could say with her, the Lord hath testified against me, for the Almighty hath afflicted me. Maybe today in this house you feel that you're afflicted. Are there any benefits that arise from the road of affliction? I believe there are. Let me give you just a few. See, sometimes God uses affliction to bring us back from our wanderings. He did it in Naomi's life. He afflicted her. The Almighty hath afflicted me, she said. There she's off in Moab. She should have been in Bethlehem. She should have been at the house of bread. She should have been inside the land of the covenant. But now she's out in Moab. And so God brings death into her home, afflicts her, brings her back from her wanderings. You think of the prodigal boy. He brought a famine into his life in order to chase him back home to the Father's house. We think of Peter and the night of affliction that he endured whenever Christ glanced at him, whenever he denied his Lord and his Savior, and how Peter was chastened and brought back to the Savior. As a loving father, desiring only his best for us, there are times that God brings us into moments of affliction in order to bring us back to God. The psalmist would testify again in Psalm 119, verse 67, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I have kept thy word." It was affliction that drew the psalmist back to God. C.H. Spurgeon, he said this, "Often our trials act as a thorn hedge to keep us in the good pasture, but our prosperity is a gap through which we go astray." Many a Christian has gone astray in times of prosperity. The business thrives. The career takes off. And what happens? The Wednesday night prayer meeting goes out the window, no longer seen as a necessity, no longer seen as an important meeting whereby I need to attend. And what happens is that temporal treasures rather than eternal treasures become more important. And so the all-consuming passion of the life becomes work, work and more work. Now don't get me wrong, nothing wrong with doing well in business if God has blessed you in such a way, but Matthew 6:33 must ever be kept in the forefront of our minds. "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." And maybe today you're sitting here and you're wondering why things just aren't going as you thought they would go. Maybe you're asking yourself and you're perplexed why debts are so high and why profit margins are so low within the business. Maybe God is afflicting you. Maybe God is chastening you. Because his desire is to have fellowship and communion with himself. And if you're a disobedient child, then he must bring out the rod. He must bring it out. If there is no chastening, then you're no son or no daughter. Maybe the Lord is asking to reprioritize the life. It is the Puritan Daniel Caudray that remarked, "If a sheep stray from its fellows, the shepherd sets his dog after it, not to devour it, but to bring it in again. Even so our heavenly shepherd, he sends the dog of affliction, not to destroy us, but to bring us back to himself." Well, another reason why God brings us into times of affliction is to root out pride from our lives and to keep us humble. When things go well in our lives, we become self-sufficient, self-reliant people, proud of our own achievements, proud of our own accomplishments. However, when God brings us into times of affliction, he does so in order to root pride out of our hearts and to bring us into a humble reliance upon the Lord. There was one man in Scripture who was going to learn that lesson in a very dramatic way. We find the record of that recorded in Daniel chapter 4. You can turn there if you want. His name was Nebuchadnezzar, a Babylonian king. He had an inflated opinion about himself. A man that was proud all that he had accomplished in life. Listen to how he boasts in Daniel chapter 4 in the verse number 30. It tells us there, "The king spake and said, Is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty?" My and I and my. Proud man. Yet says in verse 33, "The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, that he was driven from men and did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like birds' claws." From the majesty of a king on a throne to a cow in the field, God brought him down because of his pride. Here's a man and he reacts well to it, because it goes on and says in verse 36, "At the same time my reason returned unto me, for my glory of my kingdom, mine honour and brightness returned unto me, and my counsellors and my lords sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and exalt and honour the King of Heaven, whose all whose works are truth, and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. It was the Puritan Richard Sibbes that said, poverty and affliction take away the fuel that feeds pride. That's why God brings us into times of affliction, to root out this self-reliance, this self-ability to go on. And we realize that we are dependent creatures. You see, affliction not only makes us humble, affliction keeps us humble. Keeps us humble. Keeps us at the Savior's feet. Keeps us praying. Keeps us in the Word of God. An afflicted man needs a word of comfort, and he'll have to go to the Word of God. Keeps us reliant upon our God. And how many promises there are in God's Word concerning the humble man. Because God gives grace to the humble. It is to the humble man that God comes and revives. To him that is of a contrite and humble spirit. To revive the spirit of the humble. And to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Isaiah 57 verse 15. But another reason why God brings us into affliction is to conform us more to the image of the great shepherd. Someone wrote that God's afflicting rod is a pencil to draw Christ's image more fully on his people. C.H. Spurgeon remarked, the furnace of affliction is a good place for you, Christian. It benefits you. It helps you to become more like Christ. It is fitting you for heaven. See, the chief purpose in the mind of God for us all is that found in Romans 8 and verse 29, to conform us to the image of God's dear Son. And so God must sometimes bring us into the furnace of affliction, because it's there that the dross is removed and those things that are displeasing to the refiner are expelled and removed from the life, and his image is seen more clearly in our lives after that we have been in the furnace of affliction. And so the times of affliction are times that make us, or should make us, more like Jesus Christ. In all their affliction, he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. He enters the furnace with us. Maybe you're in the fiery furnace today, the furnace of affliction. Let me assure you that the master refiner will not keep you there a second longer in that furnace than you need to be. And that whenever he have tried you, then you'll come forth as gold. Pure gold. You'll come forth as gold. Godly Robert Lenten said, affliction is the diamond dust that heaven polishes its jewels with. Imagine that. God takes the diamond dust of affliction and he polishes us. Because someday we're going to be set into his royal diadem. They shall be mine, saith the Lord, in the day that I make up my jewels. And there's that cutting away and there's that polishing process. It's called sanctification. There's that cutting away of sin, that dying on to sin and living on to righteousness. And God has various tools by which he uses. And one such tool is the diamond dust of affliction. Grinds it away. See his image. Oh, but there is a fourth reason why God brings us into affliction. And it is to wean our hearts away from this world, to set our hearts upon the world that is to come. We're often too attached to this world. to earthbound in our thinking and our living, and thus God has to send affliction across our pathway to remind us that we live in a fallen world, and as a result of living in a fallen world, this world is not our home. That there is a span by which this world will last, and then God will call time, and time shall be no more, and then we'll go into the world that is to come. God sends affliction to wean us away from this world and to wean our affections away from this world. We love this world too much. And so God sends affliction to make us homesick for heaven. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 4, in the verse 17, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." I wonder, do you view your afflictions through the lens of 2 Corinthians 4 verse 17? You should. They are but light afflictions, is what Paul wrote. But they're working for you. They're working for you. Our afflictions should therefore pave our way to glory. Let our afflictions be that which then elevates our hearts and our souls heavenward, where there is an absence of everything that brings affliction to our souls now. The hymn writer penned the words, we're just after singing it. Though he may send some affliction, 'twill but make me long for home. For in love and not in anger, all his chastenings will come. Consider secondly and finally with me the eternal rest that Christ provides for his sheep and that the sheep will eventually enjoy. Eternal rest. It would be true to say that the believer will never experience completely the rest that Christ has purchased for them in the covenant of redemption until they leave this restless world behind and enter into heaven's eternal rest. There the child of God will be forever at rest. All labours gone will be at rest. Why? Why will we be at rest in heaven? The reason is because all things that disturb this rest on this side of the grave are absent there. Because sin is absent in heaven, I'll be at rest. Sin is that which makes us restless in the world, but sin finds no welcome beyond the streets and beyond the gates of heaven. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. I'll be at rest because sin is absent. I'll be at rest because Satan is banished. The devil often disturbs our rest this side of the grave. Do you not experience it on a day-to-day battlefield with the world and the flesh and the devil? There he is, constantly tempting, constantly accusing. Ah, but Satan is banished in heaven. That's why I'll be at rest, because that place is never disturbed by the presence of him, because he's been banished to hell. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and they shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. I'll be at rest because sin is absent, because Satan is banished, because temptations are expelled. Is Satan not the great tempter? Well, if he's not there, if he's not there, and if this body has been changed and made like unto Christ's glorious body, then all temptations that we so readily yield to here on earth are expelled. And I'll be at rest forever. I'll be at rest because this body of flesh will have been destroyed. The body of flesh is often the vehicle by which we commit the most of our sins. That body of flesh will experience such a transformation that it will no longer be able to sin. Paul spoke of that transformation in Philippians 3 verse 21, who shall change our vile body, that it might be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Christ's glorious body. Christ had a body, a true body, a reasonable soul, our catechism says, and yet had no sin within his flesh. Nothing of sin could appeal to anything in Christ's flesh, in his humanity. There was nothing there that sin could appeal to within the humanity of Christ, and that's why Christ could not sin. There was no sinful tendencies within his humanity. It was a perfect, a sinless, an impeccable body of flesh. And I will someday have a body like unto his glorious body. So therefore, even if sin could get into heaven, I would never be able to yield to that. Because I will possess a body that is free from sin, like unto Christ's glorious body. The eternal rest of the child of God. Let me ask you, will you enjoy this eternal rest promised in the gospel? Will you enjoy it? Are you saved? Do you know it? Or will your experience, your eternal experience, be like that of what we read in Revelation 14? Let me invite you to turn there. Revelation 14, verse 11. It's my last verse. I want you to look at it. I want you to look at it. And I want you to think on it. And I want you to consider it. And if you're not a Christian and you don't have a Bible beside you, I want you to look over at the person beside you. I want you to look at this verse, and I want you to realize that this will be your eternal experience. Revelation 14 and the verse 11. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and forever. And they have no rest day or night. No rest. No rest. Day or night. The rich man that we read in Luke chapter 16 for over 2,000 years has found no place of rest. No rest. Sinner, think of it. You know rest on this side of the grave. You know rest lying on your bed. You know rest as you slip into that armchair after a weary day at school, at university, at the place of work. You know rest of what it is to get that medication from the doctor, that rest of the body after that period of illness. You know something of rest, but on the dark side of eternity, on the dark side of eternity, there's no rest. And you'll look for it. You'll look for a place of rest in the bottomless pit. But forever and forever and forever, eternally and everlastingly, you'll fall. And you'll fall. And you'll fall. And there's no place of rest for you. Oh, sinner, it's time to trust the Savior. It's time to trust the Savior. I want those two words to be branded into your two eyeballs today, if you're not a Christian, so that whenever you close your eyes tonight, you'll see nothing but two words in front of you: no rest. No rest. No rest. And I pray that they will stay there, and that those words will echo and re-echo around your mind until you seek rest in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then you'll be able to sing with a hymn writer, "On me my heart is resting. Ah, this is rest indeed." What else, almighty Saviour, can I, poor sinner, need? Thy light is all my wisdom, thy love is all my stay. Our Father's home and glory draws nearer every day. Oh, be at rest today. Seek this eternal rest, this spiritual rest, because if you seek it not, you'll be restless on this side of the grave and on the dark side of eternity. You'll always be restless. You'll always seek rest and you'll never find it. Well, the shepherd gives rest for his sheep. Let us rest in him today. And let's find in Christ a rest that's capable of bringing us through life and able to keep us through God's great eternity. Let's seek the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee that there is rest for the weary. The invitation simply is, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We pray, Father, that there will be those today who will seek such rest. Lord, part us with thy blessing. Use thy word, Father, to encourage and challenge our hearts. And in the weakness by which it has been delivered, we pray that thou wilt raise it in power. And Father, that you'll come and show thyself to be a God who takes weak things and picks them up to be the pulling down of strongholds, the subduing of armies. And Father, bring glory alone to thy marvelous name. We pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen.